Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do ask for the leading and direction of your spirit. You know that I delight in teaching your word. But Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. And I pray that you will use me as a vessel, as an instrument to accomplish your purposes and your desires in each of our lives. To this end, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. God does not work in a haphazard manner. We know that he's orderly. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, the very last verse, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. And that's what God wants. Now, we're going to look at two verses in Jeremiah 31, if you want to find Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, Jeremiah chapter 31 is written about Israel from the Old Testament. Of course, you know that. Jeremiah is an Old Testament prophet. The book's in the Old Testament. We are the church. We are not Israel. We are the church. And our primary direction comes from the New Testament. Now, I said primary, but we are not limited to the New Testament. The reason I say that is because there are some Christians, there is a segment of believers throughout the country that believe the Old Testament was Israel and it's over and all we have is the New Testament. Some of them even limit to certain books in the New Testament. And I'm here to declare that even though Jeremiah is an Old Testament book, he was an Old Testament prophet, and even though we are not Jews, we are nevertheless the people of God. So what God gives to his people applies to us. What he is telling here in Jeremiah 31 was to his people, they were Jews. We are his people, scripturally we are called Gentiles. The significant thing is that we are his people. And therefore, some things are told to the Jews, to the Israelites in the Old Testament, and it's to them as a nation, as a people that make up a nation. If God today were to communicate with us like he did with Israel, then there are some things that he would say to us personally, individually, as Americans. And there are some things that he would say to America. It would involve all of the people who are Americans. But it's a message that is addressed to the nation. And that's similar in the Old Testament with Israel. God addresses the people individually, but they together form the nation. And then there's times where he addresses the nation, okay? And so I believe that we can take from the Old Testament many, many great truths because they are eternal truths. Amen. And they're applicable to anybody who is his people. Romanians, Russians, Okay? Americans, Australians, we are all his people. And the significance is not what nation we're from, but that we are his people. We're looking at two verses in Jeremiah 31 that are about individuals. Yes, as I just said, they form a nation. We are individuals, and yes, we form a group called the church. Okay? Now, the church is a New Testament teaching and concept. However, if you look at the church as an assembly of God's people, then in the Old Testament, there were individuals who God's people, and they were an assembly. So some say in the most base form, you can refer to them as a church. Generally, that's not done because it confuses a lot of people, because the church is a New Testament concept. Now, they always say, well, why'd you say that? Now you just introduced a confusing thought to my mind. Just expand your mind a little, okay? I said it so that if you're reading somewhere or you're listening to some message and that thought is put out there, you'll recognize it and it won't shake you. I'll shake you, okay? And that way, when you hear some things, it won't be a big problem. All right, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19, let me read these two verses. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Now, Ephraim is a principal tribe of the 10 northern tribes, two southern tribes, okay, two northern tribes when the nation split. And Ephraim was one of the principal tribes spoken of here. It's not limited just to the people who are member of Ephraim's tribe, but it is, Ephraim is used representative of all 10 northern tribes. You notice it says, I have surely heard, God says, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. So God heard him. Boy, do you get the emotional direction of these two verses? Bemoaning himself? Thus, okay, thus. Now, in order, what he's about to say is how Ephraim is bemoaning himself. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented. And after that, I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Now, the title of this lesson is The Order of God's Working. And what we see in these two verses is the order that God works with us. And he says, thou hast chastened me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me. Turn me. The purpose of chastening, and this is what God is saying he's doing here. He is chastening Ephraim, or Ephraim is acknowledging that he needed to be chastened. And the purpose of the chastening was to be turned, okay? Turn. I shall be turned. Ephraim said, I feel like a bullock that wasn't used to having a yoke. Can you picture that? A bull, an ox, a horse that's not accustomed to having a yoke. What's that animal going to do when you put a yoke on it? It's going to react. And the reaction isn't going to be helpful. And the owner of the animal needs to take control of it in order for that animal to realize that this yoke is not a problem. What is expected of the animal will be more achievable with a yoke. Okay? And so I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. In other words, what God was doing in the chastening that wasn't immediately pleasant. Paul says that no chastening for the present time is joyous, okay? But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And he says, turn thou me. And then notice what he says, turn thou me, God turn me, and I shall be turned. Well, yeah, sure. God turns you, then you'll be turned. Yeah, but you see, I can influence you and turn you from a direction you're going, but it won't last. As soon as you're out from underneath my influence, as soon as you begin to reason, you know, you're gonna move that turning. But what he's telling us here is, turn thou me and I shall be turned. If God turns us, we'll stay turned. Okay? And God chastens us to do that. God wants from our life, just like the animal can achieve what is expected of it with the yoke, so God can achieve what is expected of us so much better if we're turned by him. Turn thou me. For thou art the Lord. What's it say next? My God. He personalized it. It's not just God, a God, God the powerful. No, my God. Psalm 23. For the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. Both are true. But the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's personalized. He's my shepherd. And so the purpose of chastening is not punishment, but to turn us to God. Now, we often don't see it that way. Okay, because what we're focusing on is the pain of the chastening. And that's why we think of it as being punishment. You know, we say as parents that we need to discipline our children. 9 out of 10 people, when you say discipline your child, they think of punishment. That's not the first focus.
No.
Okay, listen, I'm going to discipline you. I was going to point, but I don't do that. I'm going to discipline you. Discipline and the word disciple come from the same root word. And the purpose of disciplining is to disciple that child, to teach that child, to train that child. That's what you do. Now, sometimes punishment is needed to achieve that. But when we assume always discipline is punishment, we miss the discipling, the training opportunity. And you know what? Those of you that are younger and have young children and are hearing this, please absorb it. Don't wait until your children are grown to understand this. Because like myself, you'll have missed the opportunity. Now, I don't want any parent to think of themselves as an absolute failure because they haven't grasped the discipling aspect of discipline. I wish I had grasped that. I probably heard it But I wish I had grasped it when my children were young and I was at home. And it would have made it easier for me as a parent, okay? Because I'd have a purpose now. And, the Pennsylvania Dutch have a saying, too soon old, too late smart. Okay? I'll just leave it there, okay? And so, turn me. The people acknowledged God's place in what was happening. Now, verse 19, surely after that I was turned, the result or the outcome of the chastening was to be turned. And God's turning was intended to bring, as it says in verse 19, repentance. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. When God chastened me, when God dealt with me in my life, and he turned me from the direction I was going, now, it becomes personal. It becomes more than just God's turning. Now we repent. What is repent? Change. When we say that we need to repent, we need to change. We need to repent from the direction we're headed. We need to repent from the concepts that we live by that are not godly. We need to repent from the way that we do some things. Why? Because they're not according to scriptural principle. And what is repentance? It's changing. Now, God turns us so that we will personally repent. So the purpose of chastening is turning. And the purpose of turning is repentance. That's why God wants to turn us, so that we will personally repent. Now, I have never preached a sermon on the turning aspect of the conviction and God working in our hearts until I prepared these two verses, okay? I just went right to repentance. Okay, I just wonder, and that's not uncommon, and I don't even think it's wrong. But you see, when we look at the idea of God is working in my life to turn me, and ask God, turn me, Lord, show me, direct me. There's different words that you may use to express it. I need you. I want you in my life, Lord. And knowing now, verse 18, we pray, turn me. Because then when we see God at work in our life, and if we're really wanting it, we'll be open to be sensitive to God and his turning. And then, here I am. I need to repent. I need to change. I need to change my worldview. I need to change my view of the church. Okay? I need to, whatever. So the purpose of chastening is turning. The purpose of turning is repentance. Now, you may not always know what to pray, what to ask for. You don't have to. If you do know what to pray and what to ask for, do it. But if you don't, just pray, God, help me. I need your direction. Yeah. This week, meaning Pat, my wife and I, were in conversation. And she was saying, and I wish I could remember it. She's not sitting back there to tell me. She's at home and, you know, tell me what was our subject. But what she ended up saying was that, you know, when I got up in the morning, it was with one of our kids in particular. When I got up in the morning, I always would ask God to lead me and guide me and help me and use me. And that particular day, something came about, and her response and reaction to it is what was right and what was needed. Now, she didn't know that when she woke up. She didn't even, she would not have known that. There are many, I can't tell you how many times she prayed that way and God would direct her. Now, there were cassette tapes. Whoa, we're going way back. Not 8-tracks. We never had 8-tracks, okay? But cassette tapes on parenting. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, was coming into vogue at the probably the tail end of our raising the children. In other words, there were resources there. Just like there's resources today on parenting. But it's a 1-hour CD. Now here you are as a young parent. It's not too easy, is it, to block out an hour to sit down and listen to a CD? Mm-mm, it's not. Therefore, if you watch television, you might need to give up 1 hour of television to be able to listen to that CD on parenting. If you don't watch TV, whatever you do after the kids go to bed, you say, well, I do the dishes. Well, you ought to do them. Maybe what you'll do is forego a half hour of whatever you consider your pleasure and just to sit and not think or talk. I remember what it can be like. Somehow you must carve out an hour to listen to that CD on parenting. What I'm saying is there are resources there that are available to you, and don't get to the end of life, the end of parenting life as children. I mean, you never end up parenting. Even with adults, you still, you move into a different mode. But don't wait till then. You'll live with regrets. I live with regrets. Things that I could have known, should have known, and you probably did hear, but did not heed. Because I felt there were so many other things that had to be done. You know, I don't even remember what had to be done. But I remember my kids, Jack, Cindy, Monica, Nina. They're still there. The other things that had to be done, I don't even remember them. They're no longer a part of my life. You see, I made an unwise choice. And so don't do that. Don't do that. I've talked to my children. I've expressed to them my regrets. But I can't change it. They said, we're okay, Dad. We weren't warped too much. We're okay. And they are. But I'm not okay. I live with that. You don't have to do that. If you've done that, then what you need to do is go to them and express to them your wrong. Express to them what you should have done. Now listen, don't do it unless you mean it and stop acting the way you did that caused you to have to go to them. Because what they're going to do is they're going to come to learn that what you say does, you know, it sounds good, but doesn't really make a difference. And you don't want them to learn that. Okay? Now, let's get back to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 19. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. The purpose of chastening is for turning. The purpose of turning is to bring you to personal repentance. The purpose of repentance is to be in a position a condition to receive instruction. Now, this instruction brought remorse, regrets, shame. And that is expressed when it says, and after that I was instructed, after I got instructed, I smote upon my thigh. Okay? That was a term used in Jeremiah's day and other Old Testament days. It's an action to show an evidence of extreme sorrow. I was trying to think of something that would be comparable today that, you know, that we do physically to evidence our extreme sorrow, and I couldn't come up with anything, okay? So it's an action of that day, and it came about by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We become aware of our sin as the Spirit of God works. And after that, I was instructed. Now, what's the Holy Spirit's job? To teach us. I smote my thigh. I evidenced that I was ashamed. Yea, even confounded. He was ashamed. He was confounded by his shame. Now look what it says. Because I did bear the reproach of my youth. This is an adult class. Adults of varying ages. But the fact of the matter is, definitely, the older you are, the more you regret some of the choices and decisions you made in your youth. We often think of youth as teenage years. That would be included. But 20s and 30s, you know, by the time you get to 60, 20s and 30s, you'd be able to call youth. Okay. When you're 20 and 30, you don't think of it that way. And I understand. You know, I do not like to talk to old people, and you're talking with them and you say, I just turned 55. Oh, you're young yet. You know, okay? Because the guy's 65. And I want to smack him. Just because you're older than I am doesn't mean that I don't feel old at 55. It never stops. I'm 77. I think I'm 77. My wife, if she were sitting back there, if I'm not 77, she'd be mouthing to me what I am. Matter of fact, on my birthday, she said, now you are 77. Okay, remember that now, because I often go with the previous couple years. But the point of the matter is, when I talk to somebody who's 80-something, 87, okay, I'm 77, I talked to the age, so yeah, I just turned 77. Oh, you're still young. You can't be around people that are older than you, because they won't let you be old. Oh, that's sort of good, isn't it? Anyway, but the reproach of my youth, we all have regrets of things that we did in younger years and days. And when we repent and change, we come to God through Jesus Christ. And that's the emphasis. And this gives us the progression of how it happens. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your love and grace and your goodness to us. I pray, dear Father, you'll, by the work of your Spirit, conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.
So I had to ask now.
What's that?
Most of the older men you're around, do they all have a seniority complex?
Apparently. Apparently. I'm going to guess that's the case. Hey, look at my ears. You see? You can make it work. This is possible.
I'm probably the only change I've ever known is giving the top long time.
Yeah, well, that's what you were given, but you don't have to give it. And I just wanted you to know here's the change. I think of you almost every time I put them in.
Well, my grandparents were a firm reminder on my needle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Are you shaking hands?
Sure.
That was perfect for me. Thank you.
Well,
that was exactly what I needed this morning.
Well, very good. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you. I'll be here, Maya. Won't be too long.